So what? Recording. So what happened? What happened was I skipped down a line and I read the wrong line. I was saying like is something, and then like two lines later, Liz at that same part when it was actually that part, she said she said twist. Because there was another part where it was
twas.
Like, twas.
It must be twas.
There was twas in there, and it was supposed to be tiz.
Twiz.
And
but she supposed to be tiz?
She said twiz. Liz said twiz.
Liz said twiz.
That's like a
what a group we are. Well, turn please to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Don't worry, we don't have to go to a lot of places in the Bible today. What a time of the church. This is in the first century church. Acts chapter 8 is not very long after Pentecost. It says in verse 1, Saul is the Hebrew name for the guy that we know as the Apostle Paul. Okay? He never changed his name. The Bible doesn't change his name. Saul is Hebrew. Paul is Greek. Right? So just like my name, Michael, in another language, in French, it's Michelle, all right? So it's not like you know, it's different. It's just one language, it's one thing, another language, it's another, okay? So Paul is Paul, right? It's interesting in the Bible, though, when he's writing to the Gentiles, mostly Greek-speaking, he would call himself Paul, all right, in the Greek name. But here it's talking about Saul. This is his Hebrew name. Was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church. By the way, that's talking about Stephen, a believer who had been killed. What a terrible time in the history of the church. And this guy was consenting unto his death. And at the same time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. A great persecution. That's what the Bible says. So it was not just a persecution. I would think a persecution is bad enough. But it says it was a great persecution against the church. You know, we look at our little situation here in these are United States and around the world, and we think it's so terrible that we can't go into Kroger without a mask on. That really is bad. Wah, wah, wah. But they had a great persecution against the church, a great persecution. And what did the believers do? Well, it says, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The word scattered makes it sound like they all ran for their lives. It's a persecution. Ah, get out, get out. But it's actually a word that means to sow. They methodically went to different places, and we're going to see what they did. It says they were scattered abroad, and verse 2 says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. He just racked and ruined the believers. Here was a guy specifically devoted and empowered to take believers and split them up, drag them off, where it says he held them to prison, havoc of the church, entering into every house, that means house to house, and dragging men and women, committed them to prison. Hailing is like dragging. This is what this guy was devoted to in his life. We don't have anybody like that today. But my gosh, what did the believers do? It says they went and scattered abroad. They specifically went to different places. What were they doing there? Well, verse 4, it says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere complaining about Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Well, you'd think that would be justified. They left a really terrible situation, and the apostles stayed there. But it's not what they did. What did they do? They did the one thing they knew that would help. It says they went everywhere preaching the word, preaching the word. Wow, that's what they did. That's what was on their hearts. That was what was on their minds. It wasn't, this is so terrible. I'm sure it was terrible. Obviously, some of them had family members that were dragged to prison. But here they were, the response from the believers, the action that they took, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. And they went out and did it. They went to all these different places. They could have been arrested, but they went out and spoke God's word because that's what God's word says to do. Sometimes the government goes against God. Well, who are you going to follow? Make up your mind. I'm not saying we should be doing a rebellion against the government. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is God's word is supreme. God's word is supreme. And if somebody comes along and says you can't speak God's word, well, they're wrong. They're wrong. It doesn't matter what number of letters they have after their name. They're wrong if they oppose God and his word. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Philip went to Samaria. You know, he could have complained about that. Samaria wasn't the greatest place to be. He would have much preferred Paris. Wouldn't that be nice if he was sent to Paris? Or New York? Wouldn't that be great? Maybe, I don't know, San Francisco? I don't know, San Diego? That's always happy. Where did he go? Samaria. Keep your finger here and go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. What was he interested in? The most perfect place to live? The greatest climate? I think so. Chapter 4. Oh yeah, verse 9. 4:9. Jesus went to Samaria. He actually went through Samaria. I think some of you guys know, Samaria was a place, it was north of Judea. So Jerusalem, like if you're on the map, here's Jerusalem, and then Samaria is the region just north of that, and then up above that is called Galilee. That's where the lake is and all that, you know, where the apostles hung out and Jesus spent a lot of time. And most times when the Jews had to go from Jerusalem or Judea to Galilee, they would go around. They didn't want to go through Samaria. But look at this here, verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, Jesus, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Pretty clear, right? She knew it. She goes, what are you asking stuff from me, Jesus? You guys don't hang out with us. Go to John 20. John chapter 20. Let's see the end of John here. John 20. Verse 31. 20, 31. It says, but these things are written that they might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. It says here that, let's read the verse before. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Well, I read that verse. I probably should have read, gone back to the verse in Acts first. Go back to Acts chapter 8. We're in verse 5. It says, and Philip went down. By the way, when it says went down, anytime you go anywhere from Jerusalem, the Jews considered it going down. Jerusalem was kind of high. It's about 2,500 feet above sea level. But spiritually, it meant to them that you go down anyway. So whether you're going north, south, east, or west out of Jerusalem, they always say you go down from Jerusalem. But it says here, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached what? Christ. It doesn't say he preached Jesus unto them. It says he preached Christ unto them. And I bring this up because just this week, two wonderful believers sent me verses from different translations of the Bible, of verses that bless them in these different translations. And in both cases, the translations were absolutely wrong. it sounds real nice, like this one is real flowery, beautiful, nice sounding words that sound very comforting, but it wasn't God's word. It wasn't what the word of God says. And if people come around talking about Jesus, well, Jesus was the one who walked around the earth who was crucified. Christ is the one that was the anointed. God made Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, the one who got raised from the dead, the one who is our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it says in Romans, how you get born again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the what? Lord Jesus, and believe that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Lord, you make Jesus, the one who walked around on the earth, the one who gave his life for us, God made him Lord. God made him Christ. That's what he did. And so when people talk about Jesus, it sounds all nice. You go to any religious thing, they always, everything's Jesus. Jesus this, Jesus that. They even name conventions. It's Jesus 2010 or something. Jesus was the guy who walked around on the earth. Jesus Christ is the one who is our Savior. Praise the Lord. I'm getting too excited over here. But do you see, we're the ones that need to uphold what God's word says. We're the ones that we talk about. We want the accuracy of God's word. We want to teach what God's word says. Well, let's get the record straight. It says Christ in here. He didn't go preach Jesus. He preached Christ to them. There's no power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ, the one that God raised from the dead. That's where we have our power. Okay, so it says he preached Christ unto them. Oh, so back to John chapter 20, verse 31. John 20. It's to the left, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is what? The Christ, the Son of God. That's why this was written. Why we have this epistle, what do you call it? This Gospel of John. That's why we have it. Because this is what it says here. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life through his name. Look at Colossians chapter 1 while I'm on this topic. Colossians chapter 1. One of our favorite verses, chapter 1, verse 27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Is that what it says?
No.
It says, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, Jeff. Christ in you, Juanita. That's what it is. Christ in you. Christ in you. The one who was risen from the dead. That works within us. That's what we got within us. It's not Jesus in us. If anybody says Jesus in them, there's a problem. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay, well, let's go back to our nice record here, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Preach Christ unto them. And the people with one accord, verse 6, gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. I didn't tell you to keep your finger there the last time, did I?
No.
Sorry. Everybody there? Okay. It still says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which God did through him. Is that what it says?
No.
What does it say?
He did.
Which he did. Again, very popular religious thinking today, let Jesus work through you. Good Lord. I don't want anybody working through me. Christ works within me, right? That God and Christ is in me. God and Christ is in you. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can do all things, right? Jesus doesn't do it in me. Jesus doesn't control me. Sounds nice in the religious world, but it's dead wrong. The word of God says right here that Philip did these things. And I just thought when I was reading this verse, people in Samaria, the horrible place it was, they with one accord gave heed. They listened. They were attentive to the things that Philip said and the miracles that he did. Philip did miracles. It wasn't doing miracles among believers. He was out there in the world. He was out there speaking the word to people who didn't have Christ. And what happened? They listened and they saw miracles. So a lot of times, you know, we think about ourselves. We should be expecting miracles in our life. We should be expecting the power of God in our life when we go out and we speak God's word. We can go anywhere in the world, no matter how dark it is, how negative it is out there. We can go there, speak God's word, and it shines God's light on them, and miracles can happen. That, where's that verse? It says, confirming their words with signs following. It's in Acts. I think it's chapter 12. He confirmed the words with signs following. We speak the word and God works in us. So many times we just get timid. We're with people. I actually have a challenge for you this week, for you and me. This is our weekly challenge. Think right now of one person that you may see this week that you haven't spoken God's word to. It could be the bug man or the mechanic, garbage person, what do we call them anymore, sanitation engineer. Think of one person and speak a little bit of God's word to them. Just a little bit of God's word to them. You know, if we're afraid of what we say, we really oughtn't be. There's a good word, oughtn't. We oughtn't be that because God told them that he'd even give them the words to speak. We open our mouths and speak. And won't God give us the words? Well, let's try it and see. Let's just see if he won't give us the perfect words to speak. William, you're really good at this. You go out, you get in front of people, and then you just speak the word. And it's that word. It's not you. It's not your personality. It's not how great you are. It's not that you speak this perfect, magical words. It's that we speak God's word. And God can give us the right words to speak. It might seem stupid to us, but speak them. Let's get into that habit of allowing God to work within us to speak his word. And it might just seem dumb. Well, who cares? It's better than talking about the corona thing out there that everybody else is talking about. Might be a nice little distraction from how many people have died. It says, this hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse 7. For unclean spirits. Yes, devil spirits. Devil spirits. They're still out there today. We like not to think about that. You know, today people want to tame the devil spirits. It's not a spiritual problem. Really, you were probably brought up wrong. Or really, you've been kind of repressed in your life. You know, and people have had a bad attitude about, and that's why you are the way you are. It's not your fault, Jeff. It's not. It's not your fault. It says here, he cast out devil spirits. Because devil spirits are behind the things that are happening today in our lives, in our world, around us. But if any of us did get possessed, the rest of us do have God and Christ in us to cast that spirit out. Well, that's what he did. For unclean spirits, in verse 7, crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. Good Lord, this guy was down there speaking the word. And many spirits came out of people. And many that were paralyzed, that taken with palsies, those are people that were paralyzed. And that were lame, were what? Healed. They were healed. I'd like to see that. There was a time when Peter walked down the street, and the shadow of Peter overshadowing people, they would get healed. My goodness. Well, we have a little ways to go in our walk with God. But it only happens if we start. It only happens if we allow God to work within us. It only happens if we open our mouths. And then the words of God can come out. It might not sound like the perfect thing to you, but let's just believe that God is working in us. The will to do of his good pleasure. The result is in verse 8, there was great joy in that city. There was great joy in that city. From the situation that it was before to having great joy. Now it gets into a little situation of why the city was so messed up. Look at verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. This is magic, or you know, we call today magic, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. So we reading this, it's very clear. But those people living in that city, they had no idea this guy was operating or operated by devil spirits. They didn't know that. They just thought this was a great man here. He's doing all this stuff. You know, he's guessing our ages and always getting it right. And he's telling us what we're going to eat for breakfast tomorrow. And he's telling us the name of our dead aunt. And everybody's so impressed by him. The Bible says this guy was using sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. And they all thought that he was so great because they saw some kind of power. Well, today people need power. People are looking for some kind of power in their lives. You and I have more than anything else that's out there. We're the best superheroes there are in the world. We're the best because we have God and Christ in us. Nothing can stand up to that. But nothing's going to happen unless we speak, unless we reach forth our hands to heal. To whom, verse 10, they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. They didn't know the difference. They couldn't separate truth from error. They didn't know. The Bible tells us very clearly what the situation was. As being run by devil spirits. Well, that's what it says. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. That baptized means they got born again. Baptized in the Spirit. They got born again. You can't stop someone from getting born again if they want to get born again. So no matter how powerful the devil is in their life, no matter how far down they've gone in their life, how horrible a situation they're in, there's a way up for them to get and to enjoy everything that you and I also have. And you know that. The Word of God can deliver anyone. There's no one too low that God can't reach down to them, or too high that God can't help them. We have the power to bring deliverance to people just like this dude here in Samaria, Philip. We have that same power. We have the same rights, the same abilities. It just depends on, do we want to get out there in front of people and speak the word to them? Do we want to bring deliverance to them? Well, if we want it, we're lacking nothing because God's given it all to us, God in Christ in us. Verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also. This guy who was evil, he was evil. He was very evil. He was using magic. He was bewitching all of the people of the city of Samaria. He believed also. So nobody we should be afraid of. Nobody we can't help with God's word if they want it. Simon got to the place that he saw the genuine. He realized the stuff he was operating was not the best. And so what happened? He believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the signs, the miracles, and signs which were done. You know this record. Here's this guy. He had been operating devil spirits for years. The whole town thought he was great. And now he's in a different realm. He got born again a God spirit. And now he is the power of God. Yet the way that he operated power before is not the way that God's power gets operated. He would have to get possessed. He would have to have devil spirits working through him. And now, got Holy Spirit. He's got Holy Spirit. And so he's watching after Philip going, look at what he's doing over there. He's healing these people. This is real. This is genuine. Verse 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive Holy Ghost. Oh, wait a minute. Don't you receive the Holy Ghost when you get born again? Yes. But notice this word receive. This is why it's important that we do get to the accuracy of God's word. If you don't understand that this is a different Greek word from the Greek word to get born again, receive, then you're going to be lost reading the Bible. But this is different. What's this Greek word? This is lambano, to receive into manifestation.
Oh, no, I have decamai for the first
one. The first one is decamai, that's correct. Oh. They had received the word of God in verse 14. In verse 15, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 17, we have lambano, but let's read it here, okay? So 15. When they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. You know, they hadn't received yet into manifestation. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received what?
Lambano.
Thank you, Michelle. They received into manifestation the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? They manifested the Spirit. The power of Satan to the power of God, just like the commission that was given to the Apostle Paul. This guy, Philip, went to this town, and he just went in there speaking God's word. And as he's speaking God's word, he's manifesting power. And as he's manifesting power, the result is people are getting delivered. Doesn't matter how much negative stuff is out there. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter how much the adversary is trying to scare us. If we go in with the word of God, we can break through that darkness. We can make a difference in somebody's life. All they need is to want it. If they desire it, you and I have the ability to help them. And I don't care how bad it is. I don't care if they're like that guy in the tomb scraping himself and saying all kinds of terrible things. We've got the power of God. Well, verse 18, Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money because that's what he was used to in the devil spirit world, saying, give me also this power, that on whoever I lay my hands, they may receive the Holy Ghost. You know, he has a nice intent here, right? He wants to help people get born again. But he didn't understand how it works. He didn't know yet. But Peter said to him, thy money perish with thee. Didn't mean that this guy was going to perish. It just means that you'll take this money to the grave. It's not going to do any good, right? You know, when you die, this money just dies with you. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. So you're damned. No. Verse 22 doesn't say, so you're damned. Verse 22 says, repent therefore. Therefore, dude, just change. Just change. You've been operated by devil spirits for so many years. You're so used to that. Now the genuine right thing comes along, you're going to need to learn to change your mind, to go according to the way God does things. And that's how simple and straightforward it is. There's the way the devil does it, and there's the way that God does it. We introduce God's word into people's lives. They can have the right way to live. They can have the power that they need to have very fruitful lives. So he said, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps or that the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. He knew by revelation about the spiritual depth of depravity that Simon was living. And he says it by revelation here. Well, look at the next verse. So cool. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come unto me. How cool is that? Here's this guy who probably was as, what is it when you think you're so great?
Arrogant.
Thank you, Michelle. He was probably an arrogant dude because he had all the power. Everybody thought he was the great power of God. But look at how meek he is here. He says, please just pray to God that those things don't happen to me. Well, I guess they did. I don't know. It just goes on to the next thing here. But how amazing it is that the power of God just cuts right through any of the darkness that the adversary has out there. There's waves of fear, waves of devil spirit workings going on around us in our world today. That's what's happening right now. And those are the things that are behind all this stuff that's happening. All of the riots, all of the division, all of the prejudice stuff, these guys against these guys and those guys against those guys, all the divisions, the basis of it, the devil and all of his host. But we have the solution to every one of those situations. We could get caught up in how bad it is and talk about this one against that one and this and that and how smart we are knowing all the facts about this stuff. But how stupid that would be. What did they do when the pressure was on? What did they do when there was an attack against God and his people? They went out and spoke God's word. They went out and manifested Holy Spirit. So that's what I wanted to share.